Rendez-vous de la Francophonie is an annual celebration that promotes the French language, heritage, and its numerous cultural expressions. It runs March 2nd to 22nd, 2017 in communities across Canada. The RVF series, which showcases the diversity, duality, and dynamism of Canada's Francophone communities, is brought to you by La Fondation Canadienne pour le Dialogue des Cultures, the National Campus and Community Radio Association, Canadian Heritage, and this station. Please stay tuned for the next half hour for this week's edition of Rendez-vous de la Francophonie. Visit ncra.ca/RVF for more information on the series.
The following is a presentation on behalf of the NCRA, ANREC, the National Campus and Community Radio Association, l'Association Nationale de Radios Étudiantes et Communautaires, produced for CKUW 95.9 in Winnipeg as part of the RVF Francophone Series. Bonjour! C'est génial d'être en vie. You know, as I finish my meal and look out the window, my newly acquired energy sends my thoughts into the panoramic view before me. Like, is anyone out there as hungry as I was an hour ago? And if so, who are they? Is it the working business class? Maybe children attending private schools nearby? No. Rather, it is most likely families who have immigrated from countries halfway around the world in search of a better life and have yet to find it. Why? My name is Jesse, aka Bunna, co-host of a weekly segment called Word on the Street, broadcasting live every Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time from CJRU at Ryerson University in downtown Toronto. Right now, I am in Regent Park, a community known for its quintessential representation of this country's diversity through its residential population, many of which come from Africa, well known for its abundance of Francophone-infused dialect among today's existing citizens. So it comes as no surprise that Canada's bilingual brand is, in larger part than we think, due to the influx of Francophone residents now embedding themselves into the urban fabric of this city. But are they really? Are they given the same quality of life standard opportunities as their English-speaking counterparts? That, my friends, is what we are here to find out. The children of the world. The beginning of one's life is usually the foundation for what they will become in the near future. What you have heard is an ensemble of children who attend an all-day French school in Canada's biggest city, Toronto, Ontario. Located within one of the city's wealthy neighborhood districts, the Toronto French School is apparently the highest standard of French education in the city. Boasting an unparalleled academic experience, the Toronto French School, or TFS for short, seems to hold themselves up to a high social standard. But if this is true, then why isn't every parent rushing to get their kids in? Could it be economics? Potentially, but I somehow feel that there's more to it than that. Ces questions ont besoin de réponses, and we're going to find them out. And to do so, we're going to take a bit of a history lesson. Because before the French and English and the European wave of immigrants came to this land, there was another group of people that still very much exists today. And we're going to hear from them, one man in particular who is a staple foundation of the cultural history of Canada in the Winnipeg region and throughout the country as well. He is a musician, broadcaster, and now the leader of the opposition in Manitoba's parliament. Descending from the Ojibwe's First Nation Aboriginal tribe, let's hear from Wob Canoe.
Hey Canada, I'm Wob Canoe. I know I'm not your boyfriend, but wouldn't mind being your man on the side. But for this thing to work, there's five things you're gonna have to stop saying about my people. First thing, alcohol. The big thing that separates us here isn't the alcohol, it's the poverty. Because when a non-native person passes out, they do it at a curling club or at a Nickelback concert. But when a native person does, they do it on the street, which is shameful, but oh so comfortable. Then there's this whole idea of get over it. You know, why don't you guys just get over it? You know what? I am over it. My dad was raped in a residential school by a nun. I'm over it. But it doesn't mean that we should forget it. Then there's the long hair thing. You know, some Aboriginal people do wear their hair long as a symbol of cultural pride. Those are the natives with beautiful, long, straight hair. For curly-haired Ojibwe such as myself, hair clippers have been the greatest invention of the white man since the mirror. Then I often hear this question. What are you guys doing with the $7 billion? The $7 billion we give Indian Affairs, what are you guys doing with it? You know what? That money has to pay for a population the same size as New Brunswick. You know what New Brunswick spends on their population? $8 billion. And yet I never hear Canadians ask, hey, New Brunswick, what are you doing with your $8 billion? Finally, one of your favorites, taxes. Guess what? I'm a status Indian. I pay income tax. I pay sales tax. I once even paid a land transfer tax. Ironic. It's all part of a much larger stereotype that Aboriginal people in Canada are getting a free ride. 140 years after the treaties, we're still waiting for the things that we were promised in those agreements to share the land. So I ask you, who's really getting the free ride?
A free ride indeed. Perhaps that's what most Canadians' impression is of bilingual residents, speaking both English and French. When it comes to the job market, bilingual jobs pay better, is what I often hear. But what if a candidate speaks better French than English and doesn't live in Quebec but elsewhere in Canada? Will they be treated the same allure bilingualism does for primarily English-speaking people? What I see in this economic picture is an assumption that if you speak French, then, job-wise, you're set. Clearly, this is not the case. Let me explain. In March of this year, the Canadian government released a statement that announced a better scoring on the applications of French-speaking candidates applying to live in the Great North. This seems promising, but it only comes after years of protest from primarily French-speaking communities who claim the government holds a bias in their immigrant selection process and prioritizes English to French foreigners. So while things may look better for global Francophones wanting to emigrate and live here, at least for the time being, such mandates have yet to be imposed on the local economies of this country. So it seems as though once given entry, Francophones are on their own in terms of securing employment. Now with the ratio of French to English speaking people already in this country, you tell me, how is that fair? I think it's about time we listen to the benefits being experienced by Francophones in this country. Let's listen to one example of things actually working in their favor as a result of their bilingual nature.
Je m'appelle Syria Kitty, je suis originaire du Bénin en Afrique de l'Ouest. La ville d'Edmondston, en fait, c'est une ville francophone. Il fallait qu'on s'adapte un peu à l'anglais parce que oui, on parle français, mais Les gens travaillent beaucoup en anglais. On a été bien accueillis. Le processus d'intégration n'a pas été trop compliqué. On a reçu de l'aide, par exemple, pour nous indiquer un peu les services, les différents bureaux administratifs. Les gens ont été très gentils. Ils nous appelaient quand même pendant à peu près un bon 6 mois. Les gens nous appelaient quand même pour savoir si ça va bien, s'il y avait des choses qu'on avait besoin. Puis au niveau aussi du centre des nouveaux arrivants, ils ont été très, très actifs dans la première année. Je préparais mon CV, je lui ai envoyé. Ça a duré environ 3 mois. Le début, c'était pas facile parce que, en fait, l'entrevue se faisait complètement en anglais. Alors qu'à l'époque, j'étais vraiment pas à l'aise en anglais. Mais ils m'ont quand même avoué qu'ils veulent me prendre. Mais parce qu'ils savent qu'avec le temps, je vais apprendre l'anglais. Puis finalement, j'ai commencé à travailler à la banque. Mes formations, tous étaient en anglais. J'ai réussi à passer à travers. Donc, depuis là, je travaille comme directeur de compte. Dans la banque, j'ai tellement de possibilités de progression en emploi, des formations, formations continues toujours disponibles. Donc, on a plein d'opportunités. L'adaptation se fait bien. Moi, je suis habitué maintenant aux deux. De l'anglais au français, je change mon système en anglais ou en français. Puis, je me sens très bien.
Ah, finalement, écoutez les Français. That who we just listened to was a gentleman by the name of Carriac, and he now resides in Canada on the Atlantic, but is originally from the country of Benin in West Africa. Being a native Francophone speaker, his immigration and integration into Canadian culture was actually made easy and supported through the provision of services and jobs and resume development, all supplied by resources within this country. So, interestingly enough, his experience of immigrating and living in Canada, both as a Francophone and now English speaker, has been an impressive one. And this is great to see. The only discourse I have in his experience is that the integration was done from a French-speaking country into a predominantly French-speaking town in New Brunswick. Would he have had the same experience had he moved to the big city lights of Calgary, Winnipeg, Vancouver, or Toronto? Who knows? It's just good to know that there is a home for Francophone people in Canada. Inattendu? C'est moi, et je suis plein de surprises. Like, how many of you would have guessed that I am bilingual, speaking both English et en français aussi? Yep, and I've been bilingual for about the last 5 years, specifically gaining a great understanding of the Francophone language. Pendant les années, je suis complété mon degré sur l'Université de Ryerson. Et mon professeur, c'est magnifique. But I wasn't always bilingual. In fact, in my first year while learning the language, I eagerly applied to a bilingual posting at the LCBO. And when called for an interview, was woefully unprepared for the French-speaking part of the interview. Needless to say, je n'ai pas les positions. Though I hope it went to someone that was truly bilingual, hopefully francophone-based too. Did you know that of the 6.3 million people living within the Greater Toronto Area, over 400,000 are French-speaking? So essentially, one out of every 14 people could potentially work in a bilingually dependent role. Perhaps, in an effort to improve the presence of French fluency, our country should create new regulations that see one of every 14 jobs rooted in bilingualism. That way, it stimulates the job market in bringing candidates with more robust skills and also provides incentive for English-speaking residents to pick up a book, class, even a podcast if you have to, and learn some en français. And what better way to learn than from the people themselves? During my daily endeavors, I was blessed to come across someone who has a very unique francophone experience. Not only that, but she was willing to share her experience with us today. So, what we're going to do is get into some community outreach and find out what the people have to say about speaking French in a big city. Now, I know her relatively well, so I could introduce her, but why not let the people speak for themselves?
Bonjour, je m'appelle Nima Ibrahim, et puis voilà, je suis un maman de trois enfants, très 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 bel et beau enfant. Et puis mon carrière c'est early child education. Alors voilà, c'est pour cela que je reste à la maison un tout petit peu pour maintenant en tout cas, pour entraider mes enfants. Et puis voilà. Bonjour.
Bonjour, ça va bien, merci.
Où commence votre expérience française et êtes-vous né ici ou dans autre pays?
Oui, j'étais né en autre pays. Je viens de Djibouti. Et puis, de premièrement, mon pays était colonisé par France. Alors, c'est pour ça que c'était plus facile quand on a immigré ici d'aller dans une école française. Voilà.
Parfait. Et quel âge allez immigrer pour le Canada?
C'était 1993-94. C'était l'année qu'on a immigré ici. Et puis depuis ce temps-là, j'ai toujours, plus que ça, moi, j'ai appris mon français ici. Mais voilà.
Pourquoi il est important pour vous de continuer à parler français même dans une société anglaise fondée?
Vraiment, je sais pas, pour moi c'est juste, voilà, c'est la langue que je savais parler depuis mon naissance, tu peux même dire. Alors, c'est pas pour importance d'apprendre, mais c'est juste une manière. C'est une langue que j'ai appris, et puis j'aimerais bien, oui, que mes enfants apprennent aussi. Comme ça, on a plus de langues à parler à la maison.
D'accord. Et pourquoi pensez-vous que la culture française n'est pas supportée ici à Toronto?
Je pense qu'à Toronto, c'est plus anglophone. Et puis, je pense que c'est plus facile pour les parents. D'accord. C'est plus facile pour les élèves et pour les parents qui supportent plus les écoles anglophones, peut-être.
Donc, votre bilinguisme amélioré et contestez-vous objectif de carrière?
J'allais dire, comme j'avais dit tantôt, non, parce que voilà, ça dépend de la carrière que tu fais. Et puis, mon carrière maintenant, tu peux dire oui parce que je suis avec mes enfants et tout. Et je parle français, je parle anglais, je parle aussi ma langue maternelle, tu vois. Alors, il y a des gens, oui, ça leur aide. Et puis il y a même, tu vois, dans leur application, si tu sais parler un français ou même chinois, tu vois, ça leur aide, c'est sûr et certain, mais pour mon cas, non. Pour mon cas, j'avais pas vraiment. C'était pas nécessaire, tu vois, car.
Que ferez-vous pour améliorer la dualité de la culture française ici à Toronto dans le futur?
Moi, j'essaie de parler plus de français, toutes les langues de un. Premièrement, ma langue maternelle, c'est très, très important, mais aussi anglais et français à la maison. Ça commence à la maison, tu vois. Moi, je pense que de plus en plus que tu utilises la langue chez toi, avec tes enfants ou quoi que ce soit, tu vois, ça change progressivement, tu vois. Et puis voilà, moi je dirais à la maison.
C'est parfait.
What a wonderful experience. It's great to hear from people who have first-hand knowledge of what it's like to enter and live in a country where communication is not necessarily the easiest transition. Hearing Naima's story really inspires me, and I hope you as well, to really appreciate the fact that you live in a place where communication or establishing a foundation of sound communication among your peers, friends, jobs, school, etc., is far from being an issue. Because when it is, it often shakes up the stability of your environment and your everyday life. Listening to her responses to some of my questions was truly magnificent. I had no idea that moving to a country, you would actually take comfort in your native language rather than embrace the normative communication language spoken in your new home. For all the non-French speakers, Naima's responses were mostly about appreciating the fact that she lives in an English-speaking country, but maintaining her native French-speaking tongue from Djibouti, a country in East Africa. What she also said is that when it comes to employment, she doesn't believe that French is a mandatory component needed here in a big city. But it would be very progressive of the city to encourage more French-speaking roles and positions, more specifically establishing it in the education system. Now, French is mandated by the Ontario government to be administered from grades 1 through 8, and I believe 9 as well. However, it's done very passively and not taken with the seriousness that I think it should be if we are to better integrate the French language in our English-based society. So, some of these things could be administered in the future to see a more bilingual duality established, not just here, but throughout our nation. And so, I conclude this episode by leaving you on a high note of hope for the future. Just last month, the Ontario government released a statement indicating its intention to build a new French language university, the first of its kind. This will give both English and French-speaking students more opportunities to study, learn, and practice French in their daily lives. This was done in consultation with the Francophone community and the French Language University Planning Board. After careful review, the Ontario government will be accepting key recommendations of the report and intends to introduce it in legislation in the upcoming months. It is believed that creating more post-secondary education options for students within the Francophone community is all part of a greater plan to create jobs, grow our economy, and help people in their everyday. Now, isn't that what we've been saying all along? I'm Bona. Again, mon nom c'est Monsieur Bona. And if you want to find out more about what I do, then feel free to follow me on social media. Je suis disponible à Media Social et sur Facebook et Instagram et SoundCloud aussi. Or my show at Watts Radio Show. That's WOTS Radio Show. It's been great, and I hope you have an opportunity to celebrate Francophone culture wherever you are. Have a great day, and wherever you are, be safe and bonne journée. Au revoir, mon amis.
Thanks for joining us for this week's edition of Rendez-vous de la Francophonie, presented by La Fondation canadienne pour le dialogue des cultures, the National Campus and Community Radio Association, Canadian Heritage, and this station. To learn more about the RVF series and the National RVF Celebration, and to send us your comments, visit ncra.ca/RVF.